Well, recently at the church here, we've been going through a series in Paul's prayers. We've been looking at all sorts of different ones that he's prayed over his ministry. And today we're looking at a prayer for, hopefully is my slides working there, William? I didn't want to do the Bible reading this morning because sometimes when you do the Bible reading, it gives away some of the things that you want to use in your sermon. So I was like, no Bible reading today. So apologize for that. I forgot to let the tech guys know. But if you've got your Bibles with you, we will be looking in them so you can open them up. But Paul's prayer that we're looking at today is for established faith. And we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verses 5 to 13. I'll be using the New Living Translation today, so if it's a little bit different to yours, I apologise for that. But it will be up on the screen as well. 2.5 months ago, I was down at Encounter Bay for a pastor's retreat. Some of you might know this. I head down once a year, and I was down there, and one evening we decided, if you've been to Encounter Bay, most people know what are two of the popular places that you go and see. Sorry? Granite Island, yeah, and then the Bluff. So they're two big rocks, but they're also big tourist attractions as well. So we'd done the Bluff already, but one of the other nights we decided, let's go and walk along King's Beach, which I actually didn't even know that's where King's Beach was. But if you've been to Victor Harbour at all, you've got the Bluff, and to the right of the Bluff, that is actually King's Beach along there. It's actually a beautiful little walk. We were walking along the cliff tops in the afternoon, and it was at this point where I was standing up on the lookout over the vast ocean, looking at the turbulent waves crashing up against the cliff. The waves were rising and falling every moment. The sea seemed so agitated, yet it seemed like nothing could hope to restrain its unstoppable force. And in many ways, my life can feel like that at times, and maybe your life feels like that at times as well. It's filled with uncertainties, challenges, and concerns that rise and fall just like those waves of the ocean. Because life is full of concerns. And as we gather here today, I want to ask you, what are the waves in your life? What concerns, fears, or doubts are looming large on your horizon? Some of us may be navigating relentless tides of health issues, or maybe the fear of job insecurities. Others might be wrestling with doubts about your faith or even about the state of the world. Just like the ocean, our concerns can seem overwhelming and unyielding. But the same can be said today for the church, which faces many great concerns, things like pride, biblical illiteracy, lack of direction, bad publicity, which are all valid concerns for us to have, that are all consuming at times and often unwavering. But I believe there is more fundamental, there's a more fundamental demand that draws our attention. Only 2 weeks ago in our young adults group, we were talking about this exact question. In the end of Ephesians chapter 6, we talked about the biggest concern that the church or Christians face. And that is that Satan would convince us to doubt his existence and to doubt God and to doubt God's word. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, actually said a similar thing over a century ago, which I believe still rings true today. He said the chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Why is this so significant? Because it undermines the very foundation of Christianity, our faith in God. When we doubt Satan's existence, we negate the concept of hell and we lose our sense of accountability. When we doubt God, that leaves us without hope, without any redemption possible through Jesus Christ. And when we doubt God's word, it deprives us of truth, of self-awareness, and spiritual guidance in our lives. If our faith in God is questioned, or worse, abandoned, we don't only miss out on the blessings that we would have received in Christ, but we also become less effective in addressing these other legitimate concerns that we have. But there is good news. Just as a skilled sailor is able to withstand the stormy seas by holding onto their anchor, we too can find a way to navigate life's challenges. We have an anchor. We have a source of power that can help us find strength and stand firm in the face of adversity. Through Paul's prayer today, we'll discover how we can find that anchor and weather life's storms with confidence and hope. So join me on this journey as we together discover the unshakable foundation that the Thessalonian church developed by establishing their faith in God. But before we can learn how to establish faith that overcomes our greatest concern, let me give you some context of our passage today. The Thessalonian church was planted by Paul, Silas, and Timothy on Paul's second missionary journey. And this is recorded in Acts chapter 17. Surprisingly, Paul only spent 3 weeks in Thessalonica speaking at the synagogue each Sunday or each service on the weekend. He was convincing people that Jesus was the Messiah. And surprisingly, some Jews and even many Greeks came to faith through Paul's teachings, which in most cases leads to jealousy and persecution, as it did for Paul, from the local Jewish leaders in Thessalonica. This persecution that Paul started to face was so severe that Paul and Silas actually ended up fleeing in the middle of the night by the cover of darkness to a neighboring town, Berea. But the Jewish leaders continued to stir up persecution for them and trouble there, which meant that Paul actually eventually had to go all the way back to Corinth, where he wrote the passage that we're going to look at today, which begins in the first half of verse 5 in chapter 3. Paul says, "This is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong." It seems here that since Paul has left the church in Thessalonica, he's had this concern for them about how the church was doing in his absence. Now, we don't know exactly how long it might have been since he planted this church in Thessalonica, but by the rough calculations that I could put together, I don't think it would be any longer than 7 months since he'd planted this church. So what was Paul so concerned about then? For this church so young that he'd only recently been at, was he starting to feel like bad? Maybe, I left the church under severe persecution. What was Paul's concern? Well, it shows us, as you might have seen in the next part of verse 5. Paul says, "I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless." Seems a bit strange, doesn't it, that Paul's concern wasn't about, "Oh, I hope you're doing okay and you're very safe and happiness is greeting you." No, Paul was concerned for the work that Silas, Timothy, and himself had carried out months earlier. He was worried that that work had been ineffective. So what was these works that Paul was referring to? Well, I believe Paul was referring to establishing faith. And there's two things that I believe Paul was referring to. And these two things that we often see go hand in hand throughout Scripture, where faith, ministry, and churches are established. And that is, very simply, the Word of God and prayer. Established faith refers to the Word of God and prayer. In the Old Testament, we see Samuel uses these in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, where he says, "As for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you, and I will continue to teach you what is good and right." We also see in the New Testament, Jesus' words are always accompanied by prayer. We also see it in Paul's ministry journeys as well. He always uses the Word of God and he always is praying for the churches he starts. And a really prominent one that we see in Scripture is where Peter and the apostles delegate the other roles that they've been given and responsibilities because they believed that it was of utmost importance that they can spend our time teaching spend our time in prayer and teaching the Word of God. Whenever there is the Word of God and prayer working together, we see faith established. When Paul planted the church in Thessalonica, how did he do it? Through sharing the Word of God in the synagogue. And we see, if you jump down to verse 10 in the passage today, that even though Paul wasn't able to be with the church in Thessalonica, he was praying for them day and night since leaving. So the question, though, is, are both truly necessary to establish faith? Can faith be solely established by the Word of God alone? Or by just dedicating substantial time to prayer? If we prioritize teaching and preaching without prayer, we risk intellectual illumination without spiritual empowerment. And conversely, if we have excessive prayer in our lives without the Word of God being input, we may lead ourselves to passionate fervor but lack depth and understanding. In Paul's absence, the Thessalonian church needed these two vital components together to establish their faith and church. Receiving the Word of God regularly through teachings and readings and fostering a culture of prayer individually and corporately. These practices together would build a strong foundation, enabling them to resist the temptations, endure persecution, and most importantly, effectively reach their community for Christ. And the same is true for us today. If we want established faith in God, we need to make sure that we are receiving the Word of God regularly. Things like church, or going to small groups during the week, or even approaching someone about mentoring, or actually just catching up with other Christians and opening up the Word together. But not only do we need the Word of God alone, we also need to make sure that we are engaging in prayer regularly. This is personal prayer when you wake up in the morning, maybe after you have your lunch or before you go to bed at night. But also corporately, we need to be praying together as a church family. We have our Tuesday morning prayer meeting. We have a group that meet here Sunday morning before the service starts. You can catch up with other Christians during the week and pray together. But the thing we need to be careful of is when we establish our faith, that we don't just see that as ticking the box. Oh, my faith's established. I can leave that alone now. Because established faith requires continuous work. Albert Einstein said this. He said, intellectual growth should commence at birth and cease only at death. But to put a spiritual twist on Einstein, Dion Sternberg said, growth in faith should commence at new life in Christ and should cease only at the end of eternity. Establishing faith in God is a continuous process, growing throughout our lifetime. And that was the desire that Paul had for the Thessalonian church. But the question is, could they do it? Could they establish their faith? Well, let's have a look in verse 6. But now Timothy has just returned to Paul, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remembered our visit with joy and that you wanted to see us as much as we want to see you. Yes, they did it. The Thessalonians were able to, even in the face of persecution and temptation, establish their faith and church that Paul had begun. But what the Thessalonian church didn't realize is that in establishing their faith, it wasn't just a blessing for them and their church, but it was a great blessing to Paul as well. Because established faith blesses others. Being established in faith blesses others, as we're going to see in the rest of our passage today, where the Thessalonians' established faith blessed Paul in four different ways. Firstly, their established faith blessed Paul with encouragement. Down in the next verse, in verse 7, it says, Paul says, so we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you remained strong in your faith. The Thessalonian church was not the only people who were suffering from troubles and persecution because of their faith in Jesus. Paul, as we know, had fled two different towns trying to escape the persecution. Yet upon writing this very letter, he was on trial in front of the Roman courts at Corinth, still facing severe persecution and affliction and distress. Yet imagine this, Paul is concerned about his trial and Timothy comes to meet him with the news. Paul, do you remember that church that we started 7 months ago in Thessalonica? Yes, the one that faced severe persecution to the point where we fled in the middle of the night. Did you know, Paul, that they have persevered against the temptations and persecution of the evil one and now have established a strong faith? A grin starts to present itself on Paul's face as he screams out, praise God, praise God. Those who have only had a glimpse of God's work in their life have remained established in faith. How much more then should an apostle such as myself endure for my faith? Just like the Thessalonian church, when we remain established in our faith in God, no matter what life brings at us, be it death, suffering, persecution, pain, doubt, or loss, we can be used by God to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ when they are feeling discouraged. And when we do this, not only does it help us, and encourage them, but it also helps us to continue to remain steadfast in our faith, continually strengthening and fortifying it. The second thing that established faith blessed others with, or blessed Paul with, was renewed life and purpose. In verse 8, Paul says, "It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord." So not only did the Thessalonians remaining established in their faith encourage Paul to persevere through his discouraging circumstances, it also renewed the life and purpose he was living. And that was sharing the faith of the good news of Christ Jesus. At a time when maybe Paul was starting to have doubts, maybe even questions creeping into his life about the calling that he had. But hearing the Thessalonians' faithfulness stirred Paul to remain faithful to the mission that God had given him. Thirdly, their established faith blessed Paul by bringing him joy. In verse 9, we see how we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Just hearing those words from Timothy's report would not have only put a smile on Paul's face, but it would have filled his heart with joy. Just as it should do here for us at Lighthouse Community Church. When someone becomes a member of the church, when someone gets baptized or establishes their faith in Jesus, when someone shares their testimony or resists temptation or sin in their lives, or even just comes along to church for the very first time. All of these things bring joy to myself, Colin and the elders, and I hope to all of you that call Lighthouse home. Fourthly, their established faith blessed Paul by inspiring him to pray more for them. In verse 10, we see, "Night and day we prayed earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith." As much as Paul, we know, was already praying for the church in Thessalonica since leaving, receiving this news from Timothy would have encouraged him to pray more. Just like a few weeks ago in the message that I shared, that when we know our brothers and sisters in Christ more and more, we are able to truly love them by being able to specifically pray for them. Paul was now aware of how the church in Thessalonica was going, so he could now pray for them and their church specifically. He knew what their needs were. Just as I've recently come to the reality more and more of in my own faith journey, prayer is such a vital role in everything that we do as individuals, but even more importantly for us corporately as the body of Christ here at Lighthouse Community Church. If we as a church family can grasp the importance of joining together regularly and praying, we are going to start opening the door for the Holy Spirit to do incredible works in our lives, in our church, and in our community. And this is exactly what Paul was praying for the Thessalonians. So in closing, remember that our established faith in God is the anchor that holds us steady during life's turbulent seas, just as it did for the Thessalonians. We've learned the importance of establishing our faith through the Word of God and prayer. These two pillars working hand in hand strengthen our foundation and empower us to face life's trials. So let's carry that knowledge with us that our established faith not only transforms our own lives, but also blesses others. It encourages, it renews, it brings joy, and it inspires prayer. So what will it take, though, for Lighthouse Community Church to become renowned for its established faith in God? It begins with recognizing that our faith in God is the cornerstone of our lives, surpassing all other concerns. This means giving our utmost priority to our relationship with God, His Word, His divine plan for our lives. And furthermore, we would be wholeheartedly embracing and consistent in meaningful prayer, both individually and corporately. We would come to deeply appreciate the profound importance of prayer in sustaining our faith and providing support to others in their faith journey. In becoming such a community, we wouldn't just strengthen our own faith, we would bless others as a beacon of hope, inspiring transformation in the world around us. And together we would be a radiant example, or a lighthouse, if I would, illuminating the path of love, faith, and hope for all that which we know can only be found in Jesus Christ. To conclude the chapter, Paul finished with a prayer for the Thessalonian church, and I thought that we could pray it for ourselves today to conclude this message. So if you'd like to stand with me, we're just going to pray the prayer on the screen. And may the Lord make our love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as the love for you overflows. May God, as a result, make our hearts strong, blameless and holy, as we stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. Thanks, Ian.
Just stay standing as we finish.